Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, guys? I am Ben Dubose, and this is Locked On Rockets. If you've been with us the last few days, you know we've been going through the Rockets depth chart as part of really a depth chart series across the Locked On Podcast Network as we examine where each team stands at each position. Yesterday, we went through the Rockets options at small forward, headlined by Trevor Ariza. Today, we're going to be moving on to the Rockets options at power forward, headlined by Ryan Anderson. As you would expect, Anderson is definitely the headliner. You don't pay him $80 million over 4 years not to play major minutes. So when you look at the 48 minutes that the Rockets are going to allocate at power forward, I would say 30 of them have Ryan Anderson's name all over them. And unlike players like Trevor Ariza, who are kind of hybrids and might play a little bit at other positions, in our breakdown yesterday, I guess Ariza would play about 24 minutes at small forward and 6 to 8 at power forward. I don't see Ryan Anderson playing any time at small forward or center at this point in his career. He's pretty much a power forward only. He's nowhere near quick enough to play as a three, and he also does not bring enough defensively, especially in terms of interior play, to be a center on any kind of regular basis, except in a few maybe extreme matchups here and there. By and large, I think Ryan Anderson is going to give you 30 minutes a game at power forward. I don't think he's necessarily going to give you more than that. As I've said before on this show, I think we all need to understand that that $80 million contract is a little inflated based on the current market value. It does not indicate that the Rockets necessarily value Ryan Anderson that much more than other players on their roster who are making proportionally less. It just so happened that this was when Ryan Anderson was a free agent, and that's what the market demanded. So they went out and got him. It also helped that signing Anderson gave them a leg up with signing Eric Gordon, his former teammate. But just because he's got this $80 million four-year contract, it does not mean they're going to treat him like a max player. Ryan Anderson is a good player. He's not a max player. His weaknesses, he's not a great defensive player. He's also had an injury history. So for a lot of reasons, I think about 30 minutes a game is fairly reasonable, because there are going to be some matchups where you don't want him out there down the stretch of a game because defensively he might be a liability. Also, his injuries. This is someone with a long list. He's had a, you know, somewhat serious neck surgery in his career. He's also had a few nagging injuries. So he's a guy, as he enters his upper 20s, closer to 30, that if you want his career to last, and the Rockets did sign him for 4 years, he probably shouldn't be a 35-minute plus per game player anymore. You want to cap his minutes at about 30. So even though he's got that big salary, he's one piece to the puzzle. He's a role player. He's a very good role player, someone who can average 20 points a game in this system and hopefully make upper 30s% in terms of three-pointers. He can space the floor. He's a decent rebounder, better than he gets credit for. I think in Mike D'Antoni's system, that's going to get more three-point shots, more up-tempo play, more field goal attempts for everyone. You know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for Anderson to have, you know, 19-7 this year and be a really viable player in those 30 minutes. I just don't think he's going to be a franchise player for a lot of reasons. You're looking at him as a solid starter, but people who expect more based on the contract, I don't think the Rockets are looking at it that way. The contract is just a result of the market. It does not necessarily speak to how they value him at that position. As far as the options behind Anderson, first and foremost, there's Trevor Ariza. I think we all need to accept that Trevor Ariza, at this point in his career, as I was just describing, he is a part-time power forward. The Rockets like to play small. We know that under Mike D'Antoni, they're going to go to even more small ball, skilled ball, whatever you want to call it, lineups. Other teams are doing it as well. So having someone like Ariza who can hit threes, is trustworthy defensively, you're going to see that in a lot of matchups, him at the four, especially to close out games. Beverly, Gordon, Harden, Ariza, and Capella, I would not be surprised to see that as a closing lineup, especially early in the year and especially against teams that like to play smaller. So I would give Anderson 30 minutes and Ariza 6 to 8 after. So really, I would say that right now, all but about 12 minutes are spoken for. When you look at Anderson and those part-time Ariza minutes, power forward is not as big of a question as some might make it seem. Really, you're looking at, you know, a role player off the bench for 10 to 12 minutes as the team is constructed right now. Now, the ideal solution for those 10 to 12 minutes, and I think it's the most likely too, is Donatas Moniunis. What's the problem with Moniunis? Well, he's not under contract right now. They have his rights, of course, because he's a restricted free agent, but Moniunis and the Rockets have still yet to come to an official agreement on a new contract. So right now, he's not on the depth chart. However, for purposes of this podcast, I am going to assume the deal eventually gets done because, first off, we have not heard Moniunis engaging in substantial discussions with any other team, and even if he did, the Rockets would still have the right to match a contract that he got elsewhere since he's a restricted free agent. So I'm going to operate under the assumption that the Rockets are able to bring him back. So what do you expect from him? Really, I think that 12 minutes per game role is fair, because this is someone who has not reestablished himself as the player he was in the 2014-2015 season when he was a viable 30 minutes a game option. Last year, I mean, he could not handle more than 15 minutes a game without it compromising his production. You think and hope that over the long haul of his career that he'll be able to recover from that back surgery, but there is no such thing as a minor back surgery. So there's a reason he did not play major minutes last year. He did technically start at power forward because the Rockets did not have a lot of other options. I think, you know, Josh Smith was largely washed up. Terrence Jones, for a lot of reasons, that was not working out. So Moniunis ended up starting at power forward down the stretch because, well, the Rockets didn't have a lot of other places they could turn, but he certainly was not a major contributor. So when you look at how the injury limited him last year, I don't think you want to pencil him for more than 15 minutes a game. I think you look at him initially being that 10 to 15 minutes per game backed up power forward, and if he proves his health, if he proves he's back to that player he was 2 years ago, great. You deal with that problem when it comes here. But I don't think you want to give Donatas Moniunis that role at this particular point in time. He's got to prove it. And when you look at the trade that was voided by the Detroit Pistons, yes, I'm on record as saying I do think there was a little bit of funny business going on with that. I do think that the Pistons got a little bit of cold feet, not just because of the medicals, but I think there were voices in the organization that were wary about giving up that first-round draft pick. And so I think they used that 72-hour physical window as something of an excuse. However, I also don't think they go that far in the process and then pull out if the back was no issue at all. I think the back was part of the reason they pulled out. I think there were other circumstances at play as well. But, you know, it all starts because they did see something that a doctor was a little bit apprehensive about, at the very least, on his physical. So you do have to wonder if Moniunis can come all the way back to being the 25 to 30 minutes per game player he was before he had that back surgery in April 2015. So is Moniunis going to be a viable contributor? You hope so. You don't count on it. You pencil him in my opinion, as a 10 to 15 minutes per game player to start. And if he proves capable of more, then great. If he proves capable of more, you've got a lot of options. Number one, you could go bigger. You could, you know, not have to play small as much. You could play Moniunis over some of those Ariza minutes, which would keep Ariza even fresher. We talked yesterday about the importance of limiting Ariza's minutes. So, you know, you could take some of Ariza's minutes and allocate them to Moniunis. You could also allocate some of the minutes at center to Moniunis. Right now, we'll talk about the center position later in the week, but as it currently stands, the Rockets are probably looking at playing Clint Capella about 28 minutes and Nene about 20. Really, Nene at 34 years old, he doesn't even have to play every night. He can be a part-time player. What you sign Nene for is depth, and you hope that especially as the games get meaningful, down the stretch of the year and we get closer to the playoffs, that he can step up and do a bigger role. But you know what? If Monty Unis is capable of playing those minutes, and we heard Monty Unis' agent, BJ Armstrong, say last week that he looks at Dinonis Monty Unis as a starting center caliber player. Now, I think that's certainly agent speak, trying to get Monty Unis the best contract he can, because if Monty Unis can play center, that certainly increases his market value. But, yeah, for purposes of this discussion, if Monty Unis can play 20, 25 minutes per game effectively, then sure, put him at center and he can stretch the floor. You know, a center in Mike D'Antoni's offense that can hit threes and pass the ball from the perimeter, that's worth a heck of a lot of value. So yes, even with Ryan Anderson playing 30 minutes a game, and even if you want to play some small ball lineups with Ariza at the four, you could still carve out 20 minutes per game for Monty Unis if you need to. It's just, I don't think 20 minutes a game are going to come at power forward, but there is a way to work him in at center if he proves worthy of those minutes. To start off with, though, I'm sure the Rockets, if and when Monty Unis resigns, I'm sure Monty Unis and the Rockets are going to put on a happy face about how well, you know, we think he can be a big-time power forward in this league. And you know what? He might can. He's shown a lot of promise from time to time. But from a practical standpoint, while the quotes will be flowery, I don't think that's the way it's going to play out. From a practical standpoint, I think the Rockets will give Monty Unis that 10 to 12 minutes per game role, let him prove his health, and then worry about finding those minutes once he establishes himself as the player he was 2 years ago before the back surgery. Now, that would take up all 48 minutes at power forward. Anderson, small ball minutes from Ariza, and Monty Unis. However, there are certainly other options at the position, and the Rockets might need those options if for some reason Monty Unis does not come back. And as we said, Monty Unis right now, not under contract. So let's take a look at those options. First and foremost would be Michael Beasley. Beasley is someone who, while I've downplayed his potential significance to this particular roster with Mike D'Antoni, he did play a big role in March and April of last season, and he was a contributor, even in the playoffs. The Rockets did not have a lot of creators after James Harden, so his ability to do things off the dribble, create shots. We all joked about how much of a chucker he was, but really that's something the Rockets needed, especially in those minutes without James Harden. So Beasley filled a very viable role for this year, for last year's team when James Harden was not on the floor, because really the other guys out there in from 12 to 6 minutes in the second quarter and 12 to 6 in the fourth weren't really capable of creating their own offense. So Beasley, at the very least, was able to draw attention from the defense. And even if he threw up a shot that missed, well, maybe you're attracting attention and someone else can hit the offensive glass and you're at least promoting a little bit of movement to your offense. Now, I'm not as high on him for reasons I've said before on this show. He doesn't move the ball well. He's also not a great defender. That's one reason why he's not really going to fit at the three. Could he play as a small ball four in a D'Antoni system? Yes, he could, but he's not a great shooter. He also doesn't move the ball. And with the presence of Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, that role he had a year ago of someone to create offense when James Harden is down on the floor, I don't think it's as important. Now, that doesn't mean he won't play, but I don't think the Rockets are going to go into training camp in the preseason set on giving him a role. Yes, they did choose to bring him back, but when you look at Michael Beasley's contract, it was a no-brainer to bring him back. The contract, when they signed him away from China for this year, it's basically a one-year contract at $1.5 million. In this new salary cap era, that is basically nothing. That is 1 year at the minimum for someone who can score, you know, 10 points in 15 minutes if you need it. So it's a no-brainer to bring him back on that contract and just have that option of flexibility. But just because they chose to bring him back does not mean that they're going to guarantee him minutes. I think he's down the list of options. Will he get a chance in training camp in the preseason? Sure, there's certainly talent in there. There's a reason that Michael Beasley was chosen number two overall in the draft all those years back. He can certainly put the ball in the hole. And maybe as the rotation turns out, the Rockets need that skill set. Maybe he shows that he's a better passer than people think, although I think that would blow everyone's minds. There's nothing in his career metrics to indicate that he's much of a mover of the basketball. But they'll give him a chance. He does have a good relationship with the team. He is a veteran. There are lots of guys that did trust him based on his quality play down the stretch of last season. I'm just skeptical on his role with this particular roster because the deficiencies that were there a year ago that led to Beasley having a hole to fill, they're not really there anymore. So I think at this point, Michael Beasley is insurance. Will he make the team? Probably yes, because it helps having someone in that 10th, 11th, 12th man spot on the bench who can create offense and come in and get you points if you need it or if there's an injury in a particular game. But realistically, I think he's insurance if something were to happen to Ryan Anderson or one of your scorers up front. I think what you want, ideally, at power forward is a contrast. You know what Ryan Anderson is going to bring to the position. Yes, he's going to score. Yes, he can space the floor with a great three-point shot, but he's not that much of a defender. So I think, ideally, as your backup, you'd want someone who does have a little bit more sand in his pants, is able to defend more, and that's something that Donatas Moniunis can give you. Also, someone that can pass the ball, because Ryan Anderson, he's not a terrible passer, but he's certainly not a particularly good one. So when you look at Ryan Anderson, Moniunis, you have guys with largely contrasting skill sets, so you can mix and match, and that's what you want in the modern NBA. Anderson and Beasley, they do a lot of the same things. Neither one of them is going to give you much of an option against the more traditional power forwards. Here I'm thinking LaMarcus Aldridge, those types of players in the Western Conference. So really, again, Beasley, I don't think he's a real option as your backup power forward. I think he's a just-in-case insurance option on the end of the bench with Moniunis as your primary backup and more of a contrast with your starter, Ryan Anderson. Now, Beasley is not the only option at the end of that bench. You also have Montrezl Harrell. Question with Harrell, defense. And last year, you had flashes from Harrell where he was a very quality offensive player. He moves well without the ball. He could finish quickly at the rim. There's always a role, especially in Mike D'Antoni's system, for bigs who can who know how to move without the basketball and can quickly throw it down inside like Amari Stoudemire used to do on those great Phoenix teams 10 years ago. And I'm certainly not comparing Montrezl Harrell to Amari Stoudemire. I'm just saying he's got a sum of the raw skill set. There's a ton of refining to do. Is Montrezl Harrell ready to do that just yet? No, I don't think so. For one thing, I think when you look at Harrell in the summer league, I think it was pretty clear that the Rockets are working on some long-term projects with him. You saw them trying to develop a three-point shot, which would greatly increase his viability. If you're able to turn him into a stretch four would really play in Mike D'Antoni's offense and give Harrell a lot of viability. And even if he's a bad defender, if he's able to be so dynamic offensively that he can, you know, jam at the rim and hit out to three-point range, well, you could overcome those deficiencies. But you typically do not go from a guy, last year, Harrell had, 10-foot range out to three-point range in one offseason. I think you're looking at 1 or 2 years in transitioning Harrell into that type of player, and I'm sure the Rockets are aware of that. The other thing with Harrell, quite frankly, it's a numbers game. There are a lot of guys, veterans, who you are not going to send to the D-League. But Harrell, at this particular point in his career, he is someone who you can stash in Rio Grande Valley if you need. He's not going to ruffle feathers. He will continue to work on his game, work on his defense, work on expanding his shot to the three-point arc, assuming that's something that the Rockets still want to do. I just don't think some of these veterans, when you look at Michael Beasley, that's not a candidate for someone that you would send to Rio Grande Valley for a lot of reasons. Whereas Montrezl Harrell in his second year, he's someone you can work with. I don't think it's impossible for Montrezl Harrell to win a job out of training camp, especially if for some reason Moniunis isn't back. But I think the odds are you send him at least early in the year, your ideal depth chart. And when we do this depth chart series, we're assuming health, because really assuming injuries is incredibly speculative. And, you know, the Rockets, they'll deal with injuries as they come. For now, we're going to assume health. We're going to assume guys like Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon are going to be able to play because that's what they're under contract to do. And with that roster, assuming Moniunis comes back, there's probably not a role for Montrezl Harrell. So the easy bet, he goes back down to Rio Grande Valley and continues to work on his game and refine his skill set. And it's not impossible for him to win a role, but he's going to have to play really, really well. I think he's definitely not a primary option for the Rockets as they get closer to training camp. There have been a few people that have asked about the potential for Nene to play minutes at power forward in the event that Moniunis is not brought back. I would be highly skeptical of that. I've talked before about Nene on this show. At this point in his career, can he have a role at center? Yes, absolutely, especially if you cap his minutes at about 20 per game. But with Nene being 34 years old, there are obvious deficiencies on the defensive end of the floor if you're going to ask him to guard quicker players. And in today's pace and space NBA, especially in a Mike D'Antoni system, I think playing Nene at the four and asking him to potentially guard players that spend time on the perimeter, it's asking for trouble. We saw that even in the Olympics when Nenê was a great player for Team Brazil, but as his minutes went up and as he played bigs like Luis Scola for Argentina that stretched him out, he did not want to come out of the paint. And it's not that he's lazy, it's at this point in his career, he's not the athlete he used to be. And this happens to a lot of players as they get to that age and this point in their careers. It's nothing to be ashamed of, it's nothing terrible, but at this point he's a center only, especially in a Mike D'Antoni system. So while it's not completely impossible to play, for him to play power forward, and yes, Nene has done it at various stretches of his career, I don't expect that to be an option in Houston. In Houston, as I've said previously on this depth chart series, if someone is a hybrid 3-4 or a hybrid 4-5, you can almost always assume that they're going to spend time at the bigger position, because a Mike D'Antoni offense is going to prioritize skill and getting the most skilled basketball players out on the floor that he can at one particular point. So that's why I look at Michael Beasley as a power forward rather than a small forward under D'Antoni, and it's why I look at Nene as exclusively a center under Mike D'Antoni. Anyway, that about wraps it up for the power forward position. Again, I think the ideal depth chart right now, you have Ryan Anderson at 30 minutes per game. Even though his contract says he's more than that, I think the contract is just a result of market forces. I think the Rockets view Ryan Anderson as a very good role player. I don't think they see him as a 35 to 40 minutes per game star. They are aware of his deficiencies. He should be able to space the floor, provide good scoring, 18 to 20 points per game, 7 to 8 rebounds in 30 to 32 minutes. But I don't think he's necessarily going to be a true star player the way some people see that $80 million contract and expect. He's basically a very good role player. Behind him, you're probably going to have 6 to 8 minutes of Trevor Ariza playing small ball four. We know Mike D'Antoni loves the small ball, the skilled ball, whatever you want to call it, and Trevor Ariza has shown a willingness and ability to guard power forwards the last couple of years. The Rockets have had some effectiveness with it, and I would expect that to continue, especially in a league that's trending more and more towards that dynamic. Just look at what the Warriors are going to do with Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. You can absolutely run Ariza as your power forward when playing those guys. So I think that's certainly going to happen some. And then you'll have the remaining 10 to 12 minutes, ideally for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And if Antetokounmpo proves that he's can prove capable of more minutes, great. You can find minutes for him. You can keep Ariza even fresher and make those Ariza small ball minutes fewer and farther between, or you can sneak in Antetokounmpo at the center position, as his agent says he can do, and the Rockets have done some in the past. And you know what, if you have Antetokounmpo, a center who can hit from behind the arc and pass well, then that's great, and you can keep Nene even fresher. If Antetokounmpo proves capable of more than those 10 to 12 minutes, terrific, you can do it. But for right now, I think Anderson at 30 minutes, Ariza at 6 to 8, Antetokounmpo at 10 to 12, I think that's a fair place to start as we enter the 2016-2017 season. And if Antetokounmpo is not here for whatever reason, I think Michael Beasley is your top option internally to fill those minutes based on the roster as it's comprised at this particular point. Montrezl Harrell, he is on the roster, but I think the Rockets view him as more of a longer-term project, and he could get minutes if injuries come into play. But I don't see Montrezl Harrell playing major minutes out of the chute unless he just blows everyone away in training camp in the preseason. And you know what? Again, that starts this week, starts Saturday, because the Rockets are going to China in the preseason. Their media day and opening of training camp starts early, so by the end of the week, we're going to have some real basketball to discuss. We're going to have some real interviews as everyone involved with the Rockets reports back. It's basically like the first day of school. It's so exciting, and we're only a few days away. So in the intermediate, we're kind of just going through the depth chart, tying up some loose ends, and making our final predictions before basketball finally gets going. We can get some concrete answers. So this depth chart is good to kind of just recap what the Rockets have done this summer and how things look at this particular point before the Rockets report to camp. And again, we did the guards on Friday. We did small forwards yesterday. We're doing power forwards today. And we will do the center position before the week comes to a close. And then again, end of the week, we're going to have actual basketball and people from the Rockets to talk with and bring some of those interviews to you. Anyway, that's about time to sign off. Again, I always encourage thoughts and questions from you, our listeners. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can talk to the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com with any questions you want to ask me or sponsorship inquiries if you want to reach our large and growing audience of listeners. We are so thankful to you guys. If you aren't subscribing to us, I encourage you to do so. We're on every day, weekdays, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. pretty much pick your podcast source, pick your medium for listening to audio content, and we should be there. Just search for Locked On Rockets, and you should be able to get yourself on the list to receive your new version of Locked On Rockets every day. So again, I'm Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back with you again very soon.